really are focused on impacting the health of our populations outside of the walls of the hospital and outside of the walls of our clinics.
These days, hospitals are doing a lot more than delivering patient care. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. In this episode of Changes, we're talking with David Cobble, the president and CEO of Skylakes Medical Center in Oregon. Skylakes recently received national recognition from the American Hospital Association with the Foster Magalis Prize for Excellence in Community Service. We talk a lot about the work they are doing to meet community needs, including food insecurity, job training, and so much more. It's a great conversation. Thanks for joining us. Let's start with the great recognition you received from the American Hospital Association, getting recognition with the Foster Magalis Prize. Just what was your reaction when you learned Skylakes was getting that type of recognition?
Well, we were very excited about it, as you might imagine. We've known for some time the association notified us that we had won several months back and asked us to keep that embargoed. So the hardest part perhaps was not sharing it with everybody after we found out we'd won the prize. But it's a great recognition of the work that's been going on here in Klamath Falls and at Skylakes for years as we try to serve the community and make a different impact outside the walls of the hospital. So yeah, extremely excited. And now that we get to share it with the community, even more excitement is building. There's lots of different studies that support the idea that I've seen as many as 80% of health, or, you know, the things that we look at, social determinants of health, all the things that affect the health outcomes of our community, 80% or more occurs outside of the walls of the hospital. And so from Skylakes' perspective, we've been trying to figure out how do we get into the community and have a different impact, and candidly to reduce the number of patients that need to come into the emergency room or need to come into the hospital. And so this is not a short-term effort on our part. It's been going on for years, well before my time as well. And just the efforts to engage the community, to partner with them, to look at things that we can do directly to impact the health and well-being of the community. And it really is a part of our mission and vision. It's been baked into the organization and is very much our focus. So yeah, I do think it's changing, and it's not a recent change for us, but as we look to the future, I think it becomes all the more important that we really are focused on impacting the health of our populations outside of the walls of the hospital and outside of the walls of our clinics.
You're just involved in so many different things. You're working to improve food insecurity. You're working to upgrade parks and trails. You're operating a wellness center, training people for healthcare careers. I'm just wondering how you able to do all of this when you're obviously not the largest healthcare organization in America. So how do you manage to sustain these type of efforts?
Well, I think for us, and you touched on the key word, is sustain. And it's there's a commitment on the part of the organization that goes back years. And so it's a community combined effort. It's not just Skylakes trying to put these things in place without community support. And I think that would be a distinguishing characteristic that as we talked to the Magalis Prize Award, the committee and others, that was one of the things that we emphasized and they appreciated. So we've got a partnership of over 50 different community organizations that are involved on a regular basis. And so you mentioned food systems, we'll start there. So we became very involved with some of the local farmers, and they were trying to start a farmers co-op where they could bring their products to the community at reduced cost and better fresh produce and fresh resources. And so we helped get that started, but that is now transitioned to where what it's known as Klamath Grown. They have transitioned that to where they're now their own entity. They're self-sustaining, they're funded. We helped get it started. We continue to support them in other ways, but financially now they're operating on their own. And so those type of efforts are what allows some of these things to be sustainable, and how we can manage our resources so that we're not trying to do everything, but we're engaging the community in that type of an effort.
That sustainability just seems to be so important, just with your staff in terms of the efforts they're involved in with many of these things too. I mean, does it become a challenge to get and sustain that buy-in to make sure that all these ambitious efforts can continue and thrive?
Well, one of the great things about this type of work, because it is so community oriented, is we've got a great team, and their jobs, quite frankly, are in many ways more fun than the rest of us are having, because they're out involved in the community. They're having an opportunity to engage and bring things to the community, and asking the community, what do you need? And let's find a way to work on that together. So we're fortunate we've got a great team. It's not a big team, but we've made the investment in the staff that's helping us work on these projects and partner with the community to come up with the ways to make a difference. So I'd say they're some of the most energetic, enthusiastic members of our staff. They're a pretty awesome group.
I was wondering if you talk about the wellness center, because that initially evolved as, I understand, something to help out your staff, but now it's become a community resource as well.
That's right. This goes back, I can't remember when it started. There was a physician that we actually had on our medical staff. She's unfortunately since passed away, but Stephanie Van Dyke was her name. And she came to the organization with this idea of how we can affect the health of our populations. And so, as an organization, the decision was made to let's start with our employees, let's start with the population that we know and we have some more direct connection to. But over time, that began to grow. And so, with the physical space that we refer to as our wellness center, which is downtown Klamath Falls, we've added a teaching kitchen. We have group classes. We have lots of different education. There's a physician and some nurse practitioners that are down there on a regular basis. So, it did become more of a wellness focus and began to include members of the community. It is directly across the street from a park that Sky Lakes built in the downtown area. And so it just has really evolved into so much more than just employee wellness. That still gets used for that, but the classes and other things that we offer are now open to the full to the public.
And you're obviously involved with some career training, which helps meet some community needs, but also, I'm guessing, helps meet some needs for the medical center as well in terms of training people for healthcare careers. So I was just wondering if you could talk about those efforts.
Yeah, that's been a really exciting project. That's really been in the last, it's really exploded in the last year. We've been working on it for a little bit longer than that, but it did. The origins of it were the healthcare workforce shortage that we were experiencing, particularly in a rural community, and recognizing that the need was significant enough that we felt like we needed to start training our own. We need to start building and filling up our own pipeline. So we began working with the local county and city schools to introduce the concept of a career and technical education program that was specifically targeted towards health careers. And as we've done that, the response from the students and the schools has been tremendous. So we now physically have on our medical campus a location where there's the students come here on a weekly basis during the school year. And they receive classroom instruction. We partner with the community college, so those students are also getting dual college credit for the courses they take here. With the they have a capstone project at the end when they're seniors before they graduate, where they can either become a certified medical assistant or a certified nursing assistant, and we can get them and then into that program where they at the end of the year they're completing that certification, and then they can come to work for us. In a full-time paid position. And with that, then, because of the connection to the community college, then they're also getting that college credit, and with the hope that if they are so interested and inclined, then they can go on to study nursing or one of the other healthcare professions. We have a great relationship with the Oregon Institute of Technology, which is, in our case, is physically across the street from the hospital. And they offer a nursing program in partnership with Oregon Health Sciences University. They have respiratory therapy program. They have lab sciences. They have a new doctorate in physical therapy. So a lot of things happening over there that this creates that natural flow, that natural pipeline. And we're getting students now that never had an interest, never even thought of a career in healthcare. And now they're exploring that and they're finding success. And the graduation rate for the students that are enrolling in the career technical education program is significantly higher than the general population as well. So even if they never finish and go on to become a nursing leader or something of that nature, they may go on and at least they have a college or high school education now, which opens the door for them to go into a college degree or trade school or whatever direction they choose to go. But now they've got themselves open to more options. And so it's been a great way to grow the pipeline, but the impact on the community. And we describe it in often ways of helping to end generational poverty. And from a healthcare perspective, we know that one of the greatest social determinants of health is your economic background and the economics of your community. And so as we're trying to affect that aspect, you get to affect our workforce pipeline. You create success opportunities for students, and you impact the social, one of the key social determinants of health. So it's a great program that's we're pretty excited to see how it continues to grow. The other thing we were talking a moment ago about sustainability, so I do want to mention, we've been helping subsidize the program, and with, you know, if you need a nurse to teach some of these classes, or somebody with a higher skill set, what a teacher's salary is versus what a nurse can make in the hospital is different. So we've tried to subsidize that so that those teachers aren't necessarily taking a significant reduction in pay. But as we've been doing that, we've been saying we need to develop grants. We need to find other ways to fund this program going forward. And so working with the city and the county schools, we're finding some help with that, either through some outside foundations have come back and contributed some dollars, and even some of the rural health transformation dollars have been awarded to the school system, and we're a sub grantee in that. So this is something that's gaining some state and national attention as we're finding success in trying to transform the lives of some of these families.
I talked to Becky Holtberg, President CEO of the Hospital Association of Oregon, about a year ago. She talked about how about half of hospitals in the state are losing money. How do you manage what has got to be a pretty challenging environment?
Well, we're, as Becky said, and a lot of the hospitals in Oregon are facing significant financial challenges, and we're among them. It is a broad breadth of challenges, as it is in any rural health system, particularly as an independent health system. Things like we're doing in the community, we again view as integral to our vision and to our mission, and how we're going to strategically address those concerns. But we have to be realistic too about all of the other challenges. It's difficult to recruit to an area like Klamath Falls. It's a beautiful community and wonderful area, but it is rural. And so recruiting, particularly subspecialty providers, is often a challenge. And so we're looking at obviously ways to increase efficiency and do all the things that you would expect us to be looking at, but also thinking more broadly and strategically with our partners in the region, whether that's all the way up in Portland with OHSU and the Academic Medical Center, to others in the region, to think how can we creatively engage with our network providers and others to make sure that our patients in this community can stay here for pretty much everything that we possibly can. And that may be through telemedicine or other things. And occasionally we're not going to have the resources, but we want to make sure we've got the partners in place where the patients can go out, get the care that they need, and then be able to successfully return back to Klamath Falls where they live, and we can continue to care for them. So it's a much more of an integrated strategic focus around the region and building those relationships.
I've talked to a lot of health system leaders. The next one who says he's not facing a challenge, that he or she's not facing a challenge in recruiting or retention, is going to be the first. I mean, it's a problem for every health system in America, I think, no matter where they're located, what their resources are. It's just a challenge everywhere. You mentioned some of those subspecialty areas. Are there other roles that are typically a little difficult to fill?
You know, we've been successful. Nursing, of course, coming on the heels of COVID was a challenge because we had, you know, nurses were traveling and there was still so much of that demand. Advanced practice providers, we've made a much more focused effort on recruiting them. Primary care, we've made some great progress in growing we have a family medicine residency here already in partnership with OHSU. So we've been able to recruit primary care. One of the things that I think is unique that's helped us from a recruiting standpoint, at least from the APP side of things, particularly in family medicine, is we started what we've described as a residency for trainees coming right out of either PA or NP school. And they're bright, talented people, but they don't always have a lot of hands-on applied practical experience. And so rather than just throwing them into a clinical setting, we've come alongside and at least for a short period of time, 6 months, full-time salary, you know, all the benefits that they would, but we're limiting their patient panel. We precept, we make sure that we're setting them up for success. And that's helped really recruit, because a lot of the students, as they graduate, they know that they're not quite ready for a full-time clinical practice. And so easing them into that and making sure that they're qualified and ready to take on that challenge has helped us really focus on being able to recruit and build the access, particularly primary care access. That was a huge problem for us coming out of COVID. And now I think we've made some significant strides to where our access, at least on the primary care side, is vastly improved.
I've talked to a lot of hospital leaders that are very concerned about the challenges coming with Medicaid cuts that are going to unfold in the coming years. I was just wondering, how concerned are you about the prospect of those Medicaid cuts, and what are you doing to try to prepare for them?
Well, yes, so many states, particularly those that expanded Medicaid, I think are pretty significantly impacted. And Oregon did expand and expanded Medicaid significantly. So the state, as they head into their upcoming legislative session, will begin in the early next year. Oregon does a biannual budget process. So they're very concerned about what the shortfall will be in the state's budget. And so we don't yet fully know what the impact of that is. Oregon created community or coordinated care organizations. So they've sort of divided the state up into Medicaid regions. It is fully capitated on the Medicaid side of things here. And so we've got a good relationship going there, but we just don't know. We know it's going to be a reduction. We just don't yet know how much. And so this comes to back to the comments earlier of how we look at staffing, how we look at efficiency. We're looking at everything. I don't think there's any rock we're leaving unturned as we try to figure out, well, what can we do to improve our operational efficiency? Or revenue cycle is always a challenge. That's getting more difficult as well. So it's not just limited to Medicaid, although Medicaid represents more than 25% of our payer mix. So we have a large Medicaid population for the region that we serve. So any change coming from the state is going to have a negative impact on us. So unfortunately, there's not a lot of information coming out of Salem right now to give us clarity on what's going to happen. So we're preparing as though it's going to be a reduction and trying to get ahead of it as much as we can by making sure that we're optimizing our operations and then figuring out as we get more information what needs to be adjusted.
Just with all the impressive work that you are doing to serve the community, I was just wondering maybe what advice you might offer to other hospitals and health systems. I mean, most are involved in some efforts to try and address some unmet social needs, but just was wondering what maybe advice you'd learn from the work that you're doing that might be useful for other health systems that are maybe trying to expand or build upon the work they're doing.
Well, I think the advice I would give, and this is even some of the feedback I've received from the team as I've talked to them as well, is we've made a commitment. In 2012 was when I think Healthy Klamath, what we know as Healthy Klamath, it's the group that sort of manages this, is when it came to life. And so for 14 years now, we've been meeting with the community and engaging with them. And that shows that level of commitment. It's not a once and done, like, oh, let's try this, and if it doesn't work, we'll go on to something else. It is that commitment. It's that the investment in the community that makes the difference. Whether you're large or small, in case, we're the only hospital in this region. So that, I think, is a little bit different than what you might find in a more urban setting. But even in urban settings, just being willing to make the investment and make the commitment, we believe, as financially challenging as it is, we're not going to change the health of our community and be able to be sustainable for the long term if we're not trying to get to some of the root causes of what's driving the utilization, the cost in our healthcare system. So we just sort of taken the position, we've got to go first. We've got to be the ones to, at least in our community, lead that effort. So I would encourage anybody that's looking at this is it's a long-term commitment. You can't just expect to do it for a year and then think, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's go on to something else. So that would be the encouragement I would offer to anybody thinking about getting into this and get your community involved, but do it with intentionality.
Getting that community involvement is so important because I've heard of some other very well-intentioned efforts where they've hit some stumbling blocks because they kind of started some efforts, but they really didn't get that input in the community leaders in terms of maybe the need to address or the right mechanism to address it. And that kind of impeded some efforts out of the gate a little bit. So just how important is it getting that community involvement right at the outset?
Yeah, well, there's always the issues of trust. I mean, we see it in the press all the time with respect to hospitals and more the business side of healthcare, and patients tend to trust their physician, but they don't always trust the hospital. And so you're not going to build trust. You're not going to build that rapport by just saying, well, we're going to try it for a year and then we're going to be done. It really has to be an investment of time, energy, listening. Listening is so important because if you ask, the community will tell us what they think they need. But then we can listen to them and say, well, we heard you say this, but what we really think is you need this. Well, that erodes that level of trust. And so, at least in our case, it's the long-term commitment and truly listening. You know, parks were the great example. We helped build a park, an ADA accessible playground, and we interviewed students. We went into the elementary schools and talked to the kids. We talked to their parents, and then we built that park. Not what we maybe thought we would have done had we done that, but we actually talked to the kids and let them help design it. So there's a level of trust that gets built when you do those sort of things.
You got to get the expert advice from the kids in a park like that. So
Right, you want them to
that's
use
interesting.
it. And it's a beautiful day here in Klamath Falls, and I bet if you went out to the park right now, there'd be kids out there.
That's outstanding. I wanted to ask one other question if we could. I always love to ask healthcare leaders about lessons in leadership that have been useful to them that might be useful to others. So there are any lessons in leadership that have been meaningful to you that might be meaningful to some other healthcare leaders?
Well, it's interesting you ask because I was just thinking about maybe not that specific question, but I was thinking about the challenges that we all face, particularly as healthcare CEOs, and the burden, and I choose that word intentionally, the burden that we have for our communities and the challenges that we face. But we're not, my advice would be that's not mine to bear alone. I've built a good team. So the first thing is hire the best that you can. People smarter than you and more capable of you, so that we can carry that load together. I'm blessed. I've got a great board here. And so I was even talking to the chairman of the board yesterday and saying, I need the board's help. We need to share this burden together. And so that would be my advice, is this is not a solitary effort on my part. I can't make the changes in this community by myself, but working with a solid team of leaders that we've built and working with a board that's of the community and supports the organization, we can make the changes and it just lifts some of the weight off. It doesn't completely remove it. I wish it did, but it makes a difference. And so that would be my counsel to anybody, certainly coming into a system like ours where there's more than enough challenges to go around, but having that support makes all the difference.
I've been struck by the number of leaders actually say it's good to have smarter people than me in the room or in the organization, because you sort of think that your CEO wants to be the top guy with all the answers. But in reality, I've heard a number of men and women in top leadership positions who say they want smarter people in the room to tell them when they might be going astray or think of the idea they never considered.
Right. I can't think of every topic, every problem to even, I don't even know what all the problems are, much less the solutions for them all. But that breadth of experience, again, we've got a wonderful team with great experience. Why wouldn't I want to rely on that level of depth and knowledge, particularly in specific topics where I'm not a physician, I'm not a nurse? Why would I presume to know everything that needs to be done in those areas when I have people that meet those qualifications, have lived that, have walked that life, and can offer some insight that I never would have.